Ready! It's time to turn on!
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
Kids, welcome to geography class. I am going to teach you geography you won't learn in school but need to know. Like today's lesson, who hates who? That's something you gotta know. If your cab driver is Serbian, you can't be talking about that trip you took to Croatia. You're gonna get your ass thrown out on the street. So I'm gonna tell you who hates who around the globe, but I'm not gonna get into why, because I know I'll get one little thing wrong and then both of them gonna be mad at me, and I don't want Kyrgyzstan in my mentions. Yeah, there they go already. Okay, let's begin. Chinese and Japanese hate each other. Indians and Pakistanis can't stand each other. Vietnamese and Cambodians do not want to be in the same room at all. Turks and Armenians hate each other. Turks and Greeks also hate each other. Turks and Kurds, they hate each other too. Honestly, Turkey is the Nene Leakes of Europe. They always at the center of some. You got the Russians and the Chechens, they always arguing. Hungarians and Roma, Dinka and the Noor, the Irish and the British, Scots and the British, English and the British. Honestly, that whole island hated itself. Ghana and Nigeria. Now, from what I understand about this beef, this one is mostly about rice. See, here's the thing. Nigerians think Ghanaian rice tastes like concrete, and Ghanaians think Nigerian rice is a bigger international crime than their email scams. Fortunately, centuries of colonialism have made both countries too poor to afford a nuke, so it don't really matter that much. Iranians and the Saudis, Saudis and the Houthis, Saudis and the Qataris, Saudis and the Israelis, although now they're becoming friends because they both hate the Iranians more. In a way, Iran is really bringing the Middle East together. You got the Sudan and South Sudan, North Korea and South Korea. Matter of fact, if there's two countries with the same name, they definitely hate each other. And then, of course, you've got the Israelis and the Palestinians. I said I'm not getting into it. God damn. All right, let's wrap this up. Last beef, America and everybody else. Yeah, that's right. I'm gonna give it to you straight, kids. Every other country hates us. They all hate us. Some of them we invaded. Some of them we overthrew. Most of them we bombed. Some of them we saved from the Nazis. So I don't know why they mad. But it is what it is. The game is the game. But that leads me to my tip of the day, kids. If you ever travel abroad, do what I do. Pretend you're Canadian. Hell yeah. You put that maple leaf on your head right there, man. Because see, here's the thing. If it's one country that nobody hates, it's Canada. And to be honest, I don't know what that's all about. But I'm going to make it work for me. That's it for today, kids. See you next time in geography class. Eh?
Top story, America responds to a gunman's rampage that killed 8 people, including 6 women of Asian descent, with an inspiring message of, let's hear what the gunman has to say. President Biden had this to say.
I'm making no connection at this moment to the motivation of the killer. I'm waiting for an answer from as the investigation proceeds from the FBI.
I'd ask Biden to seek even more caution here. Mention more about the killer, show his picture everywhere, talk about everyone who has ever been mean to him, just really toe the line more. Well, before we continue, we have to acknowledge that here at The Establishment, we may have contributed to the current climate with our special Threats from the East, Our Chinese Adversaries and the Threats of China, and the 20 ratings gold follow-up reports. I see that now.
I'll admit, maybe it was a little reckless, but in my defense, I saw China more as a concept than a country with a huge population that my daughter's best friend is from.
That means it's time to pick a new national scapegoat for our nation's dwindling relevance.
The problem is, America's already blamed every race.
Who's the new Jews? The Turks?
There's no one left to pin our failures on, and you know whose fault it is? The Irish!
Moving on, as debate over the situation at the southern border continues, Fox News host and professor of radiology at Sad Man University, Tucker Carlson, has a dire warning. The country is turning into a big loud party, and some of the people are definitely bad-mouthing you.
Every year, the United States gets steadily more jammed with people, and at the same time, more chaotic and less cohesive. As the open spaces shrink, as nature itself recedes in the face of yet another strip mall or apartment complex or fast food outlet, to serve the new people. This is becoming a crowded country, and crowded countries are ugly, unhappy countries.
Tucker, of course, is not the first person to express this concern. One author wrote, "Only an adequately large space on this earth assures a nation of freedom of existence." That was from out-of-print classic Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler. Question for the panel, has Tucker Carlson committed the ultimate crime against humanity? Plagiarism.
Look, this is probably just a case of parallel thinking or parallel subconscious desire to kill off millions of people you call inferior to soothe your aggrieved psyche.
I'd be super careful about parroting history's most big-time monster. The Hitler estate can get real litigious.
Pour a cocktail. We're about to blow your mind.
Yeah, we're always telling lies. We know our viewers buy it. Blame Nancy for the riot, even though it isn't true. Oh, did people voting twice? They're gonna take your guns away and take away your right to pray. The libs are coming for you.
When they come for you.
Oh, and we'll blame the windmills for this disruption. Facts don't really matter anymore.
Fossil fuels are far
and
more
what
reliable.
What it comes right down to is rank corruption. Manufacture outrage daily. Gotta fight the culture war. Because it's all in bad faith.
The LGBTQ, CIP.
January 6th Capitol riot was a gift to Democrats.
You and your ilk want to confiscate guns.
Maybe I'll broadcast that vaccines are safe when our boss got one anyway. Can't you see it's all a ruse? Pay me. And there is nothing I won't say. Make all your scandals go away. We'll even help you blame your kids for your trip to Cancun. But this is why our country's f***ing broken. Constant lies that no one answers for. Oh, and we'll blame the libs for Texas being frozen. Someone really ought to stop me before we start a civil war. 'Cause it's all in bad faith. It's all in bad faith. 'Cause it's all in bad faith. The faith, the faith. It's all in bad faith. The faith, the faith.
Welcome back to Crossfire. We're talking to John Stewart, who was just lecturing us on our moral inferiority. John, you're bumming us out. Tell us, what do you think of the Bill O'Reilly vibrator story?
No. I'm sorry? I don't. I'm here to confront you because we need help from the media, and they're hurting us. I made a special effort to come on the show today because I have mentioned this show as being bad. Mm-hmm. It's not so much that it's bad as it's hurting America. So I wanted to
but
come here today
defense, let me,
and say...
Wait.
Here's just one, what I wanted to tell you guys.
Yeah.
Stop. Stop hurting America. Okay. Your partisan, what do you call it? Hacks.
Wait, John, wait. Like, let me,
you have a responsibility to the public discourse, and you fail miserably.
I think you're a good comedian. I think your lectures are boring.
It's someone who watches your show and cannot take it anymore. I just can't.
You need to go to a job at a journalism
miserably.
School, I think.
You need to go to one. No, this is theater. I mean, it's obvious.
No, no, it is.
How old are you?
35.
And you wear a bow tie.
Yeah, I do. I do.
So,
I hate
so
at all. I do think you're more fun on your show. Just my opinion.
But can,
okay,
just,
Zach, yeah, John Stewart goes one on one with his fans.
You're as big a dick on your show as you are on any show.
Tucker Carlson. No. Don't tune out. Don't tune out. Let's talk about Tucker Carlson, Fox News host and America's dickish stepbrother. Yesterday, Fox announced that Carlson will be an even bigger presence at the network with a podcast and a series of specials. But the question is, how did Tucker Carlson become the legend that he is today?
What makes a legendary journalist? Gravitas? Honesty? Eyes so piercing they can give you a nose ring? No, it's adaptability. And no one's better at that than Tucker Carlson. Man of a thousand faces, but also somehow only one face. Tucker Swanson McNear Carlson. His father was a journalist and U.S. ambassador to the Seychelles, a popular vacation spot for people's money. His stepmom was an heiress to Swanson Frozen Foods, a heritage he still pays tribute to with his trademark frozen facial expressions. He has a brother, Buckley Swanson Peck Carlson. You don't really need to know anything about him, but how about those names, huh? Others might have tried to downplay their wealth, but downplaying was never Tucker's style.
Well, I'm, like, extraordinarily loaded just from, like, money I, you know, inherited. I've never needed to work.
He didn't need to work. We could be living in a world where Tucker Bronson McChad Carlson isn't on TV every night. But luckily for America, that didn't happen. After college, Tucker took his talents to journalism, rising to prominence as the liberals' favorite conservative. Everyone liked him. He seemed normal and un-white supremacist-y. Tucker Swanlake McNordstrom Carlson took that palatable conservatism to CNN and PBS, eventually becoming the perpetually bow-tied co-host of CNN's Crossfire. There, he helped steer cable news away from meaningful discourse and more towards people shouting talking points at each other like a housewife's reunion. It was going great until one day when a Comedy Central extremist infiltrated the set and wreaked havoc.
Your partisan, what do you call it, hacks. Now, this is theater. I mean, it's obvious. How old are you?
35.
And you wear a bow tie.
Yeah, I do. I do.
So,
after surviving that ugly attack, Tucker made the difficult decision to move on. Desperate times called for desperate Tuckers, so the butterfly emerged from yet another cocoon and flew to MSNBC, where he was both respected and likable. Someone you could definitely trust, like Matt Lauer. You know who was pals with him back then? Rachel Maddow. It's weird to see now, like Emperor Palpatine going to brunch with Baby Yoda. Carlson's low-rated MSNBC gig didn't last long, but his personal brand only grew stronger. He was not going to rest until the world knew all 36 of his names. Having flunked out of TV twice, Tucker Seamus McDuck Carlson began rebuilding his journalism career by working with one of radio's most respected broadcasters, Bubba the Love Sponge, where he was able to channel his inner shock jock.
I love women, but they're extremely primitive. If you're talking to a feminist, and she's giving you, men really need to be more sensitive, and just, actually, you just need to be quiet and kind of do what you're told.
I'm not defending underage marriage at all. I just don't think it's the same thing exactly as pulling a child from a bus stop and sexually assaulting that child. The rapist in this case has made a lifelong commitment to live and take care of the person, so it is a little different.
Iraq is a crappy place filled with a bunch of, semi-literate, primitive monkeys. Canada. I called them our retarded cousins.
She just does seem a little c***y.
Yeah. You said it. I'm just agreeing with you.
One thing couldn't be denied. Tucker Carlson said all that out loud, on purpose, knowing other people would hear him. Plenty of people would be proud to coast on calling women the C-word, but not Tucker. In 2010, he remade himself yet again as the public intellectual behind the new website, The Daily Caller. Soon, he was ready for his most important role yet, Fox News superhero. Tucker Vanderpump McRib Carlson was home. And this time, he became something completely new. A man of the people.
Democrats have become the party of the elite professional class, eager to lecture you about open borders, global warming from their gated communities. The most privileged people in our society shouting down
at Trump's voters.
Yeah.
Damn you, working class Americans. You must be quiet.
Tucker, you went to the elite schools of this country.
I did.
We should focus on.
And that's why I know it's a scam.
It was the performance of a lifetime. An aristocrat who spent his entire adult life working in media, acting as if he had just crawled out of the coal mines and sat in front of a TV camera. And Carlson wasn't afraid to use his new clout to uplift the most needy among us, people who hate immigrants.
Our leaders worship multiculturalism because all cultures are equal, except they're not all equal.
Our civilization is superior, and we need to defend it.
Latin American countries are forcing demographic change on this country at a rate that American voters consistently say they don't want. We have a moral obligation to admit the world's poor, they tell us, even if it makes our own country poorer and dirtier and more divided. Isn't it crowding your country the fastest way to despoil it, to pollute it?
Tucker Swamp Thing McGruff Carlson was like a beautiful reverse Statue of Liberty, telling everyone to get their tired huddle masses out of here. But any Fox News host could hate immigrants. In fact, most of them did. So Tucker upped the ante.
How precisely is diversity our strength? Do you get along better with your neighbors or your coworkers if you can't understand each other or share no common values?
White supremacy, that's the problem.
This is a hoax. This may be a lot of things, this moment we're living through, but it is definitely not about Black lives. And remember that when they come for you, and at this rate, they will. We have every right to fight to preserve our nation and our heritage and our culture.
The skull of the African here, the area associated with submissiveness, is larger than any human or any other subhuman species on planet Earth.
Tucker was on fire like a cross on a Black family's lawn. But as 2021 began, he was once again restless for a change. So Carlson put on yet another hat, this time made of tinfoil.
Democrats rigged the election in front of all of us, and nobody did anything about it. And what about this vaccine? Why are Americans being discouraged from asking simple, straightforward questions about it? Questions like, how effective are these drugs? Are they safe? And by the way, how much are the drug companies making off this stuff? The Biden's affection is totally real. It's in no way part of a slick PR campaign devised by cynical consultants determined to hide the president's senility by misdirection. Not at all. Their love is as real as climate change.
A little nuts? Well, maybe. But unlike the moon landing or a 44-year marriage, you can't fake ratings like this. And while, yes, at least one person did sue for defamation, a judge dismissed the case on the grounds that any reasonable viewer knows that even things Tucker says are facts are not actual facts. So whatever the future holds for him, one thing we know is that Tucker, Severus, McFly, Carlson will do it with a smile. Or whatever's going on there.
So we've got new hairstyles and maternity flight suits. Pregnant women are going to fight our wars. It's a mockery of the U.S. military. While China's military becomes more masculine as it's assembled the world's largest navy, our military needs to become, as Joe Biden says, more feminine, whatever feminine means anymore, since men and women no longer exist.
What are you talking about, you performatively outraged wedge salad? Now, he's packed a lot in there, from transphobia to weirdly extolling the masculinity of China's Navy to his completely misplaced outrage at Joe Biden over those flight suits, which were part of an initiative that started when Trump was president and also included ensuring that body armor actually fits women service members, which is obviously a good idea. Those comments sparked an all-too-familiar cycle of condemnation, defensiveness, and hype. And it seems like every week now, Tucker has another one of these mini-controversies. Last week, it was the Dr. Seuss bull****. And look, I would like nothing more than to not play into his wildly offensive shtick. You might even be thinking right now, why give him the attention that he's so clearly trolling for? But the fact is, we're not giving Tucker any attention he's not already getting a lot of. The night he made those flight suit remarks, he was the most watched show on cable. He averages over 3 million views a night and does well in the key 25 to 54 demo, meaning that young people are watching him, as well as the normal Fox audience of retirees and their sad imprisoned pets. He is so important to the network that they are expanding Tucker's presence, launching a new video podcast and long-form documentary series. And if that wasn't enough, Tucker's also been floated as a potential future presidential candidate, which should be seriously alarming because of all the things that Tucker is, a conspiracy theorist, a misogynist, Islamophobe, a troll, one of the most dangerous is that he is the most prominent vessel in America for white supremacist talking points. And I already know what Tucker will say about this because whenever this topic comes up, he has the exact same reaction. What does that even mean?
White nationalism. Let's be literal for a minute.
What is that exactly?
I don't even know what white nationalist means, and I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole with you now.
Why doesn't anyone ever define white supremacy? What is white supremacy?
Can somebody tell us in very clear language what a white supremacist is? This show was not on the air for 6 months before there was an organized and highly aggressive campaign by prominent Democrats to denounce us as white supremacists. The first time it happened, the people who work on this show, many of them kids, were shocked and horrified by that. White supremacists? What's worse than that? The phrase evokes images of burning crosses and lynchings. It's awful.
Okay, first, I'm so sorry, Tucker. I honestly didn't realize that your show was staffed entirely by children. I certainly never intended for them to get caught up in all of this, so my sincere apologies, you tiny little rascals. But I don't burn crosses or lynch people, so I can't be a white supremacist, is a pretty weak argument. It's like saying, I can't be an anti-Semite because I didn't do the Holocaust, or I can't be a sexual predator because I didn't produce Good Will Hunting. There is more than one way to be a terrible person. And Tucker, conveniently for him, doesn't fit neatly into a lot of people's perception of white supremacists, especially if they share his definition that it must require burning crosses, Klan hoods, and a name tag that says, hello, my name is a racist. But for the record, white supremacists themselves seem to be big fans of what Tucker's been doing. Just listen to Derek Black, a former white supremacist whose father started Stormfront, the largest, oldest white supremacist site on the internet, talk about just how much his family likes Tucker's show.
My family watches Tucker Carlson's show once and then watches it on the replay because they feel that he is making the white nationalist talking points better than they have. And they're trying to get some tips on how to advance it.
Yeah. They watch it once to enjoy it and a second time to learn from it. So given that Tucker has the admiration of white supremacists and the ear of millions of your relatives, co-workers, and elected officials, we thought tonight it would be worth talking about him.
Let me ask you, Mr. Carlson, do you think we're honest with each other race to race?
Oh, no, of course not. I mean, you know, everybody is terrified of one thing. You know, whites are, of course, terrified of being called a racist. Blacks are terrified of being belittled, of course. I think we need actually probably less conversation about race. I think it might do us good were we to ignore the subject a little bit and treat each other as if there were no color boundary separating us. I think that might be helpful. I think we talk about it in some ways too much.
I'm pretty sure that black people are less terrified of being belittled than of being killed, jailed, economically exploited, or indeed denied access to healthcare after their heads literally explode from hearing someone in a bow tie and plaid blazer suggest being called racist is as bad as actually experiencing racism.
I mean, Pat does raise issues that I think are important. Unfortunately, Pat Buchanan raises them in a way that I think is discredited, and when attacked, he can always fall back on the line, well, the tiny cabal that controls American politics doesn't like me because I speak truth to power. This is actually, incidentally, almost verbatim what he said the other day, that I offend the plutocracy, that I'm a wanted man by the inside the beltway people, and in every sense cast himself as a victim who is sort of a Karen Silkwood of politics, someone who's so truthful that he's being hunted down by the conspiracy that runs Washington. I mean, it's all a bit much.
How did you go from criticizing Pat Buchanan for that precise tactic to basically imitating him? It's all, to borrow a phrase, a bit much.
The problem is there are many of us here who do like this country. We live here. We don't want to destroy it. We have every right to fight to preserve our nation and our heritage and our culture.
Wow. Preserve our heritage and culture. That is direct. In fact, his pre-written caption there, "We have to fight to preserve our nation and heritage," drew a lot of comparisons to the 14 words, the famous white supremacist slogan that says, "We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children." And when you put the two together, there is, you know, a slight similarity there. I'm just saying, if you typed Tucker's quote into a blank Word document, 9 times out of 10, Clippy's going to ask, are you trying to recite the 14 words?
Let me just stipulate, I'm for getting along, I'm for colorblindness, I'm for tolerance, 100%. But I also think that if things radically change in your country, it's okay for you to say, what is this? And maybe I don't want to live in a country that looks nothing like the country I grew up in. Is that bigoted?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. That's like saying, I've got 10 fingers and toes, a pointy face with a little pink rosebud mouth, a cat-sized body, a long weird tail, and I eat garbage. Does that make me a possum? Yes.
Yes, it does. That's the literal definition of the thing you just described. But when you put all of this together, the pattern is clear. He is scared of a country that looks nothing like the one he grew up in because diversity isn't our strength. Immigrants make our country poorer, dirtier, and more divided. And any attempt to change that culture is an attack on Western civilization. All of which is really just a long way of saying that when Tucker asks, what is white supremacy? The answer is basically that. It's a belief that in a country where white people are dominant, that's all down to their natural and innate abilities, and any effort to change that is an affront to the natural order of things.
Fido, your leash is too long. You go where you don't belong. You've been digging in the rubble, getting pictures in trouble. Fight, oh, your leash is too long. Fight, oh, your leash is too long. I don't know where I went wrong. You scare me out of my wits when you do that shit. So Fido, your leash is too long. Fido, you gone far enough. I must have all of your love. You just run out of luck. I don't care what you fuck sounds do, but your leash is too long.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.